您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。
You have your eye on that dream job, but you don't quite have the skills or qualifications for that position. No matter how many times you submit a resume, you get nothing but a letter of rejection. What would you do in that situation? Would you do a creative overhaul to your resume to make you a viable candidate? I'm using so many euphemisms as I introduce this topic.
简历中把在肯德基收银写成在世界500强企业做财务管理已经不是什么稀罕事儿了，更有甚者，共青团员眨眼就成了共产党员，短期培训就成了名校毕业生，正值高校就业季，简历造假，文凭注水，该怎么破？
So guys, is inflated resume commonplace these days in China and elsewhere?
Probably it's quite common here in China because according to a report by Xinhua News Agency, university graduates are increasingly inflating their resume in order to get good job interviews opportunities. Many students exaggerate or fake their experience in the resume to get good interviews. Against the backdrop of the slowing economy and lackluster job market, some graduates are making their resumes look more attractive or glamorous, the report said. As a result, as He Yang, you've just mentioned, there are some other examples. For example, Communist Youth League members became party members overnight, and graduates promoted themselves to be student cadres, and others made up internships at companies. And a master program at a prestigious university turned out to be a short-term training course.
The part about Communist Party Youth League member to be upgraded into a party member, that actually takes a lot of effort, right? I'm not that familiar with the matter. But basically, so all those examples that Luo Yu has given us just shows that, you know, people would go to great lengths to just upgrade their resume, beautify it, and sometimes just lying pretty much in their resumes. Is this even acceptable?
The short answer is no, it's not. But, I mean, there's a world of difference between lying and perhaps, you know, embellishing a little bit. When I was a student, I often used to fantasize about embellishing my CV somewhat. And, in fact, I actually did it in some way. So, as you might be familiar with, in the UK, when you get your undergraduate degree, it's either first class degree, second class, or third class. And the vast majority of people get second class degrees. And that's split into two categories, the upper second class and the lower second class. And upper second class is abbreviated to 2-1. So that is styled on the paper as the number 2, and then a colon, and then the number 1. And a lower second class is 2-2. So number 2, colon, and then the number 2. And if you want to get, you know, a graduate job with a major company, usually they ask for the minimum of a 2-1. So I think that's the equivalent in America of maybe a GPA of about 3.4, 3.3, around that sort of area. Now, unfortunately, I didn't quite make the 2-1 cut. I narrowly missed out and ended up with a 2-2. And I was aware that maybe a lot of people wouldn't look favorably on that. So what I did was, I didn't lie, I should hasten to add. At no point did I lie. But instead of writing it, you know, the number 2, and then a colon, and then the number 2. What I did was, I wrote the number 2, and then a colon, and then I wrote the next 2 in Roman numerals.
Oh, so but that looks odd.
So that looks like 1-1. So if you're just skim reading it and looking through very quickly, it kind of looks a bit like 2-1. And I actually got an interview largely on the basis of this. And then I was going through my CV with the interviewer, and she said, oh, well, you know, you obviously got better with time, and obviously a 2-1 from Newcastle is something to be proud of. And I was so tempted to let that statement hang, but I came clean. I said, well, actually, no, it's a 2-2.
And did she appreciate your honesty?
Well, you say honesty, He Yang, but I didn't lie. You know, it was in many ways, as far as I'm concerned, it was her fault for not inspecting my CV thoroughly enough.
Oh, you clever, clever man.
I think it shows ingenuity, if nothing else.
Okay.
I didn't get the job.
Oh, yeah. Too bad. What about you, Luo Yu? What do you think of this
general practice. It's become a practice. Can you believe that for some students? That I think it's understandable that you want to make yourself look better. It's like, you know, you're this average-looking girl like I am, and...
Oh, Heyoung, you're doing yourself a disservice there.
Oh, thank you. I was waiting for that. Thank you so much. So, okay, so, you know, there's the choice of putting on some makeup and, you know, make myself look a little bit, my complexion look a little bit better and, you know, just in general look better. Or, you know, you can go to the... go under the knife, have plastic surgery, and you look like a different person. So that's how I see this beautification of resume versus lying, basically. And I was going to ask you something, Luo Yu. And yes, what do you think of all this whole thing?
First, I think, personally speaking, I've never fabricated any results.
Of course you haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a very honest man.
Yeah, but I want to say, you know, it's actually, as you mentioned, quite understandable because nowadays most of the postgraduate students or graduate students are not very confident due to the lackluster job market. So they will go any length to secure a job opportunity or interview an opportunity to secure a job. It's quite understandable, but don't go too far. I mean, you can't just make up an internship experience where you haven't worked for a company before. So that's not acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, a CV or a resume is somewhere where you sell yourself. So there's no time for false modesty. You're going to obviously want to big yourself up. But, you know, I think, you know, if you do lie, at some point you will get found out. I mean, if you lie about your qualifications and they fact check that, then that's going to be a big problem for you. So, you know, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that, especially if you get found out. If you get caught, it looks really bad on you, and you definitely lose that chance to get that job. There are so many of you, our dear listeners, that send in messages regarding the fabricating or beautifying your resume story. I'd like to read out a few. Our listener Wang Tianfu says that over-exaggerating in a resume seems to be an invisible rule. Okay, so he thinks it's a rule that pretty much everybody does, and the HR knows about it, but too much exaggeration will be easily found out. So he says that he likes this Chinese saying that you cannot keep fire inside paper. So those who don't know how to beautify their resume in a good way will get burnt. But for those who know how to do it, then there's some merit to it. And Michael, you're looking at me in a very sly way. What do you have to say?
Well, I think that's a very interesting point that's just been raised. I mean, as I said before the break, obviously lying about your qualifications, you know, maybe about the grades you've got, that I would never condone that at all. That's completely wrong, and you will get found out because, you know, HR and people will fact check. And so, you know, that I would not advise doing that at all. However, when it comes to the point of not necessarily over-exaggeration, but maybe a little bit of exaggeration, I think, you know, if you can get away with that, I think maybe that might be worth it. And what I mean by that is, for example, you know, if you're a member of a football team at university or something like that, and you played a few games, but maybe, you know, you're not really that heavily involved in it. And if you were trying to sell that as a selling point to your prospective employer, you could say maybe you were captain of the team, you were president of the club, you organized all the sponsorship, all the travel, all the transport, all the socials and every aspect. And, you know, it shows what a good manager you are, how good at organization and logistics you are. And as long as you knew what it entailed, you know, maybe one of your friends was in that position, maybe you saw how they did it, and you could then talk about that and pretend that you'd done that, I think that's more or less justifiable. I think it's okay to exaggerate as long as you know what you can exaggerate about. As our listener there just implied, you know, over-exaggeration is not good, and I think you will get found out. But as long as you can talk about it, maybe a little bit of embellishment, a little bit of spit and polish on the CV is in some ways justifiable.
Okay, that's kind of a useful tip, I think, for people. It's very useful, actually, but for some reason, I feel we're riding on the fringes of morality. And judging by the way how eloquently Michael just talked about it, it sounded like a
personal anecdote that he actually went through.
Disclaimer. That's a disclaimer
no?
here. I've done no such thing. I've never embellished my CV. That's
yeah,
for any of my former
you.
Employers.
I believe yeah. you. And there's our dear Luo Yu. What do you have to say about this, this general situation? Do you think you have some suggestions for either the HR people or the students?
Well, I think if the society has the right stance saying that it's not appropriate to fabricate your resume, probably it needs our concerted efforts, and I think it'll be a very long-standing and painstaking process involving a lot of parties. For example, when it comes to verification process, like as Chinese students, we all have Dang'an archives there in by the school authority, so they can include some of the very important information, for example, our credentials, educational qualities, and whether we are a member of the student cadre or student association or not, and then put this very important information in the shared database. And look into the future, I think this shared database could be embedded or entwined with our larger scale personal credit system there in the country. And
okay.
I think because, you know, it's impossible for the HR departments to involve in this process for verification. It's just impossible. So if we have an electronic shared database, that'll be solving the problem to some extent.
Okay, so creating a database that checks the credibility of people. Well, it's an interesting proposal, Louis. And there's our WeChat listener, Xiao Zhou, saying that, well, I am a senior, but I have lots of classmates around me that are looking for a job right now, and we have great pressure in trying to find a decent job. But the economic climate is, as you know, a little bit gloomy at the time, so I can understand that those who try to write up extra stuff to make you look better in a resume. Thank you so much, Xiao Zhou, for this message, and good luck to you and your friends in looking for a dream job. And I understand this is a very competitive climate that we live in right now, and getting your foot through the door, going to the next round, is the most important thing at this time. But like Michael said and pointed out, don't go overboard. And even if you put something that is a little bit of an exaggeration in your resume, make sure you can back it up with some personal stories, just like what Michael did earlier.
Well, allegedly. Allegedly.
Okay, so you are listening. Okay, all right, Michael. You made a really good point. And our other WeChat listener, Romantic, says that I think it's absolutely appropriate to beautify your resume and just base it on your work experience and don't overdo it. And also says that no employer is a fool, so it's actually very easy to find out. And there is 纸味清君策 saying, I am a programmer working in a company which is one of the top 500 companies. As a technical guy, resume is not that important for me because the interviewer will know your true level just through a few questions. And a good resume is definitely the key for you to get through the front door, but what will happen next will depend on your true abilities and your ability to interact in an interview. So that is true, and these are some very good comments. Just to stick in one last comment in before we move on to the next topic, Yun Sarah says, oh no, I have nothing but the truth in my resume. Was I being a little bit stupid? No, Sarah, well done. That's the way you should go. And judging by your story, she has gotten her job. So well done. Finally, we have a good example. You know, I don't feel like we're on the cliff of morality right now. See, there are people who worked hard, only spoke the truth in the resume, and found a good job for themselves. So well done, and that is the example we want to set for people.